Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
I want to thank our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America has everything you need. A premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL and NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. If you're looking for rookie sensations, they've got that. How about timeless legends? They've got that. Panini America also breaking new ground on NIL, featuring the biggest names. Caitlin Clark's in there, Angel Reese, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and so many more. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net. Some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out their most popular brands. They got Prizm, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And you got Panini Instant Cards celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen, such as Draft Night Instants. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Pirelli Scorpion Weather Active. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's no secret the Arizona Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray wants a contract extension. We started yesterday's show talking about Kyler Murray and his agent and what Tony Kornheiser, on Pardon the Interruption, likened to a ransom note, basically. Hey, if you want this quarterback, pay this amount of money, and then we'll give him to you. His agent released a statement that said actions speak louder than words, and that the Cardinals should be rushing to extend their, quote, rapidly improving quarterback, end quote. Kyler's great talent, but rapidly improving might be a stretch because he's had similar numbers all 3 years in the league. And these are good numbers, Pro Bowl numbers. But if actions speak louder than words, his performance in the playoffs certainly don't bode well for him, because Murray completed 55% of his passes, no touchdowns, two interceptions versus the Rams in the wildcard game. Actions speak louder than words. If you're going to pay a quarterback $45 million a year, you need to show up in big games and, or at least have an overall winning record, which he doesn't. Now, the Cardinals aren't going to get rid of Kyler Murray, I don't think. But it does put them in an interesting position, because if Kyler Murray, let's say you play this out one more year before you pay him. But let's say he doesn't improve. Let's say he gives you 25 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, rushes for 700 yards. That's what he does. And those are good numbers. Those aren't great numbers, but those are good numbers. I want to see if they advance in the playoffs, because really that's the key. Because he might be a Russell Wilson-type quarterback where he's not going to have big numbers, but he's going to be dangerous. He's going to be daring. Game on the line, that's the guy you want. He can beat you with his arm and his legs. But you start to make these kind of demands, and I would wait. I'd wait it out. Now, you might upset him or his agent, but what if he doesn't give me a great year? What if he underwhelms? Then I can move on a little bit easier. And the fan base will probably say, yeah, he's not worth the headache. I do like Kyler Murray. I think he has the potential to be a great player, but I think that there's a polarizing aspect of him. And I can look at this and say he's immature. I mean, he's young. He's 24. But he's being a businessman. If you're going to be a businessman, then you have to be grown up. And I don't think that yesterday did him any, you know, great service. You know, if his agent and Kyler Murray talk today, I want to know if they go, yep, we had a good day yesterday. Because I don't think they did. I think they had a bad day, perception-wise. But you have to think these things through. You have to sit down and go, okay, this is what we're going to do. Okay, what kind of reaction do you think we're going to get? Oh, there'll probably be this kind of reaction from the media. What about the Cardinals? Oh, they probably won't do anything. They won't say anything publicly. Okay, well, what if the media says that we're, you know, holding them up for ransom? Well, that's okay. But I don't know how you could go through this process and go, man, we had a good day. Now, we did talk about Kyler Murray. Then you start to dissect his career. You start to look at what he does and doesn't do. You compare him to other quarterbacks who got their contract a year earlier. And I understand that. You can say Jared Goff. Did he deserve it? Well, he went to the Super Bowl. Now, is he a franchise quarterback? No. But he went to the Super Bowl. And I'll put that on the Rams. I don't know why they extended him, but they did. Carson Wentz, he got extended. And I think we thought he was going to be the MVP. Josh Allen got his contract extended. Patrick Mahomes a year early. Okay, but, you know, I look at Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes in a different category than I do Kyler Murray. But Kyler Murray needs to prove in the playoffs. There are a lot of great regular season quarterbacks. You know, Lamar Jackson, I haven't heard a peep out of his camp. And Lamar Jackson is far more worthy of a contract extension. Right? I haven't heard anything with Lamar Jackson. From his camp, Lamar, anybody. Now, is that going to get done? Yes. Like Baker Mayfield, I would not extend him. And this is where you bet on yourself. If you're Kyler Murray, you just say, all right, I'm going to bet on myself. And I don't know if that's what he did yesterday, but Dak Prescott bet on himself. And if you are that good, then bet on yourself. Because Kyler Murray wants it now. Well, I'm still not sure if I want to give you $45 million a year. And I know that sounds strange because that's the going rate. I just can't wrap my head around everybody, the next guy up gets this kind of money. Is Kyler Murray Deshaun Watson? No. Not everybody is Patrick Mahomes. Aaron Rodgers wants 50. And then his agent's pointing out that you got broadcasters are making $20 million. Josh Allen deserves the money. Patrick Mahomes deserves the money. I guess if you want to say somebody deserves $50 million. Hell, we're paying John Wall $42 million to not play basketball. So it's not like you go, man, the Packers are going to have to pay Aaron Rodgers $50 million. Yeah, and that's the going rate for great players. Kyler Murray's not in that category, but he's the next guy up. I would be waiting to see what Lamar Jackson gets. And then maybe that helps your case. Maybe you get more money out of this. But I'd be betting on myself. But I can't imagine that they thought that it was going to be a great, great day yesterday with that strategy. Because it's like, here, Shefty, report this. And then let's see what happens. Discuss, 8:45 in the morning. And then everybody was all over this. And then what happens is you start to look at the negatives of Kyler Murray. Or you start to downgrade him because of this approach. If nobody's saying anything about Lamar Jackson today, nobody's going, you know, I don't know if he's worth $45 billion. Kyler Murray, that's the discussion you're getting. You know, is he worth that? No. And let's see what he does in the playoffs. What kind of poll question do we have today there, Seton O'Connor?
That actually is a perfect springboard, Dan, to hour one poll
question. Segue?
Yesterday's letter from Kyler Murray's agent was best for Kyler or the Cardinals?
Was it best for the Cardinals? I guess it's best for the Cardinals if they get to the point where they want to move on from him. I don't know if this helps in the negotiations other than, I mean, you know, is he humbled by this? And all of a sudden he goes, you know, second thought, let's get a team-friendly contract here. I don't know if there's anything that, They look back and go, you know what? This is going to change our approach here. I don't see that. So I don't know what it means for the Cardinals that they're going to get him for a cheaper rate or they get a little bit more of a hall pass if they decided not to extend him. What else do you have, Seed?
Well, there's another bombshell story that's just been rocking the sports landscape. Did the Packers deliberately snub Aaron Rodgers on the UK promo? Yes, no.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so the Packers are going to play in London, and they hadn't played there, and they were going to recreate the Abbey Road photo with the Beatles and have four players walking across the crosswalk.
Where'd they get that idea from?
Yeah. So I think you have a coach and four players. Bakhtiari's on there. No Davante Adams, no Aaron Rodgers. And now all of a sudden it's like, what's that mean? I can't imagine that the Green Bay Packers front office didn't know about this because of the sensitivity level when you attach Aaron Rodgers to this. I can't imagine that somebody goes, hey, who did the promo for the London game? Oh, Jimmy Lipper and Tommy Snell, you know, our two 25-year-old intern. Like, I don't think that happens like this. I don't think you have that where you go, just slap some guys together. Nobody's going to be reading into this. I would, if I'm the Packers, I would go into it with the approach of, we want Devontae and Aaron on our team. We expect them. We hope they're there. Like, we're thinking positive things here, not, I don't know, do we put him in there, do we not? I would go under the assumption Aaron Rodgers is under contract, and we want him here, and we're planning on him being here. But to leave Rodgers and Adams out of the tweet for the London game, I mean, I guess that's a topic for McAfee today with Rodgers on the show. Hey, do you feel snubbed by this? You know, nothing that maybe a $100 million contract couldn't fix. Aaron, sorry about the London snub. Here's 2 years, $100 million. Okay, I'll get over it. Yes, Eden.
Devontae, I could see leaving out, right? Because he's a free agent.
Yeah.
So he's not even technically on the team, I guess. I'm not exactly sure how that works. Yeah. But he's a free agent. But Aaron is still, I don't know. Seems crazy.
All right. Do you think they should have put Aaron Rodgers in that picture? Paulie?
Should have.
Okay.
Yeah, you should have. Because okay. It's the clearest star on the team.
Fritzy?
Just his sensitivity alone to everything, Rodgers, is reason enough to incorporate him somewhere in there.
Yeah. Seton?
No, I don't think they should have.
All right.
Because he's doing everything about it. It's this grand unknown mystery, the illusion of if I'll be back. I don't know. Where will I be? We have to watch and see. Like, okay, dude, then we're not going to put you in the thing. No big deal.
I mean, you could have Aaron Rodgers go, I'm not a Beatles fan.
He's
you know?
A mystery.
Yeah. Marv, do you think that the Packers should have put him in there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sensitivity
He's
level.
He's the star.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
Why not do a separate post after this with Aaron Rodgers and the Queen of England? They're standing there at the castle. They're both single. You know, they're both, who knows?
Well, I don't think she's in good shape right now.
You know.
Sensitivity level
hurting,
for
the
Queen. Yeah. You know, I got to worry about the Queen, too, if I put her in there. Man, sensitivity level. Amber Alert. Devontae Adams, I get. But I still would have put him in there just to say, like, it's not where we're going to go at the start of the season. Oh, can you believe that they put him in the picture and they're not even on the Packers anymore? I don't know. There are going to be other things to talk about than you left Aaron Rodgers out of a picture.
I think Packers fans in London will be very upset.
The hottest rookies, biggest superstars, the all-time greats, only one place to collect them all, Panini Trading Cards, the official trading cards of the DP Show, instant classics, autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, and more. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. What's Kyler Murray's rookie card going for? I'm curious. I don't know how this goes with the value of the. I was wondering about Ja Morant's. You know, trading cards now, rookie card, something like that. It, you know, 2 years ago this week, we did a poll question. And it was, if you could redraft, this is 2 years ago, would you take Zion or Ja Morant? Both rookies. And, you know, Zion wasn't staying in the lineup. He wasn't consistently healthy. Ja was playing, but, you know, he's playing in obscurity with Memphis. Now Memphis is the number three seed. And Zion, although marketing-wise is a bigger name, obviously, but John Morant is making a case for MVP this year. Now you can say, what? Well, they're a three seed. And I could look at DeMar DeRozan with what the Bulls have done, Joel Embiid. I mean, there's a few players that you can put in there, but John Morant deserves to be in there when you think about it. You know, Ja's third season, so he's 22, averaging 27, 6, and 6. Zion last year at age 20, averaged 27, 7, and 4. And I know when we talked about this, I talked about Ja Morant, if I look at this bigger picture-wise, has a better chance of being more consistent and staying healthy. Zion could give you highlights, but his highlights aren't anywhere near what Ja Morant's are now. Because 2 years ago, it felt like, you know, Zion was the highlight guy. And Ja Morant was the guy who got one scholarship offer. And now you look at this. That's when I look at these rankings when they go like, oh, you just signed a five-star recruit there. You missed out. Somebody missed out. A lot of people missed out on Ja Morant. Murray State. And that was by accident. You know, guys were scouting somebody and they saw Ja Morant playing a three-on-three game at a basketball camp. So the scout's not even there to see Ja Morant. He's there to see somebody else. He goes to get a snack. All of a sudden, he looks over and sees this kid in a three-on-three game and going, who's that? And that's how he ended up at Murray State. But that's why when I look at these, oh, that guy, man, he's great. Now, Zion was worth the hype. I just, you know, this season is really going to be, we're going to look back on this season and go, you know what? Like Michael Jordan when he broke his foot. And you thought, oh, you know, the way he plays, is he going to have problems with this? Derrick Rose, when he got hurt, is he going to have problems with this? Well, Derrick Rose did have problems with it. Michael Jordan did not. I think we're going to look back on this with Zion and go, man, that could have ended his career or severely limited him. But unless he turns into Joel Embiid here, you know, Embiid started slow those first 2 years. Now he's maybe the leading candidate for the MVP. But does Zion even want to be in New Orleans? And as I said a couple months ago, this is really, really concerning. And it has been. And he probably won't play this year. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get to phone calls coming up. We'll settle on our poll question. Is that what we're going to go with, Seton?
You want to go with the rerun, the one from 2 years ago?
No. I want to go with Kyler Murray.
Okay.
Because I'm going to ask Florio about, what was the logic behind all of this, and did Kyler Murray and his agent accomplish what they set out to do? Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton in include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
If you like where Mercedes-Benz has been, you're going to like where they're going. With a full range of EVs now available at your local dealer, Mercedes-Benz is turning electric completely on its head. Experience the all-electric EQB, a versatile luxury SUV that can seat as many as seven. The brilliantly advanced and superbly equipped EQE SUV, positively alive with groundbreaking technology. The inspired EQE, the electric sedan with energizing comfort features that recharge you. The boundlessly capable EQS SUV, a vehicle that takes luxury and innovation to places they've never been before. And of course, the magnificent EQS, the flagship of all EVs, delivering the Mercedes electric experience on a truly epic scale. The vehicles are all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more at your local dealer or mbusa.com/EQ.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
We bring in Mike Florio, the popular co-host of Pro Football Talk Live. You can see that preceding our show on Peacock with Chris Sims. And his new book, Playmakers, Must Read, is coming out March 15th. Can be purchased online wherever books are sold. Who's going to be upset by this book, Mike, when it comes out?
Everybody.
Yeah?
I don't know. Look, it was funny because my wife was reading a draft of it last summer, and when she finished it, she said, this is really going to piss a lot of people off. And I said, it's nothing that I haven't said or written before. It's just all collected in one spot. So anybody has a problem with it, it's their problem, because it's my honest assessment of the way the NFL operates. And the NFL is the greatest product from a sports standpoint in the country, if not on the planet, because no matter what it does by way of making missteps, unforced errors, controversies, scandals, things that have been mishandled from a business standpoint, it's still making more money than anything else, still gathering a live audience like nothing else. It almost has to try to impede its progress. And even if it tries, it's still going to continue to grow and grow and grow, Dan.
But I remember when Mark Cuban came out and said, you know, that the NFL's got to be careful. You know, when you're adding Thursday night football, and I think he was talking about hogs get fat and get slaughtered. Can you see an oversaturation at any point with the NFL?
I remember that well. Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. And for a while, I was concerned about that, but I just think our appetite for football has not yet reached the point where anyone would say, okay, that's enough. We always want more. No matter how much more we get, we want more. The transition to Thursday was a little clunky, and there were concerns about it from a health standpoint. And those are real concerns. And there were players who complained about it. Richard Sherman called it a poop fest, one of my all-time favorite quotes from any player. But you know what? The NFL just keeps its head down, keeps going, and now Thursday night is baked in to the schedule. We would be feeling as if something's off if we didn't have Thursday night football. And you just have to wonder, as the season continues to grow, and I think 18 games is just a matter of time, yeah, will they look for other windows? Tuesday night, Wednesday night, what else will they do? Because, Dan, with legalized gambling is going to drive this bus. They're going to look for ways to have more one game at a time that millions can watch and bet on, not just the bigger wagers, one play at a time, the technology that will beam the games into our houses. So as we're watching it, it's exactly what's happening at the stadium. We get 40 seconds between plays to make our next bet. It basically becomes a casino that invade your home whenever there's a game on. So I think they're going to expand the season and they're going to spread out the windows so people can tune in for more of these games. So those opportunities for people to bet will be maximized.
Could you see us exporting the Super Bowl in the next decade?
I'd be stunned if it happens. I think they like to talk about it from time to time. I think it's part of the tease that the NFL engages in with the UK just to get them thinking, well, maybe someday we'll have the Super Bowl. I mean, how can you play the Super Bowl at 11:30 p.m. local time kickoff? How could you do that? That's what they would have to do if they're going to play a Super Bowl in London at some point. Now, to the average American fan, it doesn't matter. It looks the same on the TV. All the London games look the same. It's no big deal. 99% of the fans or more aren't going to ever go to a Super Bowl in their lifetime. They're watching it on TV. It doesn't matter where it's played. But I think the allure of that helps grow the sport internationally. And before you get to a point where a Super Bowl is played in a place like London, you'd have to have a team there. And I think that continues to be this vague promise that's on the table. And I think there would be two teams. They got two NFL stadiums. And I think if there was ever one team in London, there'd be two teams in London.
All right, let me get to the poll question today. Seton, would you give Mike Florio the wording on our poll question today?
Yesterday's letter from Kyler Murray's agent was best for the Cardinals or Kyler?
Is there a C? Neither? I mean, I don't think it really helps anybody. But it's how about this? The rest of us. Because it allows the rest of us to understand what's really going on here. These vague reports we've seen in recent weeks, Kyler Murray taking the team off of his social media platforms, the Chris Mortensen report from Super Bowl Sunday about Kyler being self-centered, immature, and finger-pointing. Here's the problem, Dan. It used to be if you were a quarterback who did well enough to earn a second contract, the default was you became the next highest paid player in league history. And it would go up about $500,000 per year for each guy. And that went on for 6, 7, 8 guys. In the past 2 or 3 years, that's changed. You've got a $15 million per year spread from number one down to number 10. So yeah, the Cardinals want to sign the guy, but what do they want to pay him? They want to pay closer to 30, I believe, than 45. And his agent, Eric Burkhardt, who also represents Cliff Kingsbury, which makes it even more awkward for the team, Burkhardt's going to want closer to 45, if not more. And one of the points Burkhardt made recently in response to the notion that Aaron Rodgers deserves $50 million, if not more, when you have announcers making $20 million a year, when Pat McAfee's getting $30 million a year from FanDuel, there's money in the system to support more for the guys who are actually playing the game. And I think that's where we're going to see this going. Murray's going to be the first test case of how much Burkhardt tries to get and how much the Cardinals are willing to pay.
I haven't heard anything about Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is far more worthy of an extension than Kyler Murray is.
Well, here's the problem. Lamar Jackson decided for whatever reason, and this is an individual personal decision that players need to make. He's decided to not have an agent. And when you make that decision, yes, you are going to save the 1, 2, or 3%.
Is his
commission.
Mom still representing him?
Well, yeah, but, you know, here's the problem. There's really no one who's engaging with the Ravens. The Ravens were ready to sign him last year, but no one from Lamar's camp would engage them in real, meaningful negotiations aimed at getting a contract done. And if anything, you could argue his injuries last year and his overall performance last year may have damaged his leverage. And now they have a guy in Tyler Huntley that he's not Lamar Jackson, but he can run the same offense. And dollar for dollar for what it would take to keep Huntley around versus what it's going to take to make Jackson happy once they find out what that is, that's the reality. And when Josh Allen did his deal, Dan, same draft class, $43 million a year. When I saw the details of that deal, because I knew when I saw the initial report, once I see the details, I'm going to know, do the Ravens want to do this same deal with Jackson, or does Jackson want this deal? As soon as I read it and understood the details, this is a deal Jackson should want. So all he had to do was go into Eric DaCosta, the GM of the team, and say, let's take the Josh Allen contract. Let's scratch out Buffalo Bills and put in Ravens. Scratch out Josh Allen, put in Lamar Jackson. Let's just do that. That's what they should have done. And it would have been in both sides' interest, because it's awkward for the Ravens to not have an agent to talk to. Because when there isn't an agent, you know, sometimes you got to speak some hard truths in the negotiation. They can't do that with Lamar Jackson. They risk alienating him if they tell him why, you know, they don't want to pay him $50 million a year. So it's a tough spot for everyone, but I feel bad for Jackson because he should have his deal by now. And because he's decided to go without an agent, he doesn't have it.
I didn't have an agent for a long time. And when you sit down with, I sat down with Dick Ebersol. So here's one of the legendary sports figures in this business. And he couldn't do it. He said, I can't have these conversations. I've never done this where I have the conversation about a contract with the person, not an agent. And he passed it off to, you know, the guy underneath him who had no problem in telling me some of my limitations there. But he couldn't do it. He just said, no, it's too awkward there. And I just remember walking out of his office and my wife said, how did it go? I said, he couldn't have a conversation with me about it. He had never done something like that. The NFL offseason, the overtime rule, the competition committee. To me, it feels like there's a logical end game here, and it's just both teams get a chance to have the ball. And maybe it's just in the postseason. Like, I don't know how you modify this, you know, how do you tweak it, but it feels like, hey, you score a touchdown, we still get a chance, and then everybody's going to be happy here. Is it as simple as that, Mike?
It really is, Dan. And in the days up to the Super Bowl when we had the 5-hour pregame show and I had to go shake the trees to try to have something to actually, you know, talk about when they put the camera on me and said go, one of the things I tried to delve into was what's going to happen with postseason overtime. And it's, as of 3 weeks ago, it's more of a matter of which way is the wind blowing, but it was blowing in this direction. Guaranteed possession for each team. No gimmicks. Nothing different than just playing football, but it would be in the postseason only. Now, the Colts have proposed a change that would apply postseason and regular season. I don't think they're going to touch regular season. They don't want to extend the games in the regular season. In fact, I'd be fine with them going back to straight sudden death in the regular season just to get the game over with and let the teams get ready for the next week. And I won't be surprised if that happens at some point. Mm-hmm. But for the postseason, you got to guarantee a possession to each team. You can't have these results. Not with the rules so skewed toward offense. The just play defense argument doesn't work in 2022. It may have worked in 1982. It doesn't work now because the rules are too conducive. And when you get to the postseason, you've got the best quarterbacks. They're more likely to drive down the length of the field and score a touchdown and walk off the winner. I think that it's going to end up being a guaranteed possession and a great strategic decision to be made by the team that matches. You're down 7, you score. Do you go for 2 and the win or the loss? Or do you go for 1 and then kick off knowing it's now sudden death?
He's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk Live co-host, and his new book is called Playmakers, Guaranteed to Upset Everybody in the NFL. Comes out March 15th. Can be purchased online wherever books are sold. You had the Sean Payton, Tom Brady story on Pro Football Talk. And the Dolphins were interested in coupling these two guys. When did this story emerge? Like, how close was this to fruition?
Well, I first heard about it even before Sean Payton resigned from the Saints. And it's something that's been lingering and building. And we got to a point last week where we thought there was enough there to report responsibly, not to be confused with my usual irresponsible reports, that the Dolphins were indeed planning to make a run at a package deal of Peyton and Brady. And the Flores lawsuit killed it. Now, I don't know who decided to pull the plug. It's very easy to say the Dolphins realized we can't do this now. We can't do this. You know, wink, nod, set everything up ahead of time, get Sean Payton, get Tom Brady. We can't do that given the content and the allegations and the gravity of the Brian Flores lawsuit. It's also possible the league said you can't do that. And, you know, I've kind of heard rumors along those lines, but can't substantiate that the league intervened and said to the Dolphins, you can't do it. And Dan, one thing that fascinates me, and I'm trying to find out the answer to this question. How much of the Brian Flores lawsuit, for example, the allegation in there, that he was pressured by Stephen Ross, the owner of the team, to meet with a prominent quarterback in violation of the rules. And everybody knows it was Tom Brady back in 2020. How much of the lawsuit was aimed at putting the kibosh on the Peyton Brady coupling in Miami if Flores knew it was coming, if he'd caught wind of it? Did his lawsuit in part, was it written in part, drafted in part, timed in part to keep the Dolphins from doing it. That's something I'm trying to find out. But that's fascinating. If Flores just decided, you know what, screw these guys. They violated my rights. They fired me when I should have continued to be there. They tried to get me to do things that they shouldn't have expected me to do. And they got mad at me because of it. They got this grand plan for 2022. This lawsuit's going to keep that plan from coming to fruition. It'd be fascinating if that was part of why Flores said what he said and did what he did when he did it.
You're going Oliver Stone there on me.
I mean, listen, there's all. Hey, we know this league well enough to know there's always something going on behind the curtain. That's why we love it.
But you've been on this story before anybody, and that is Tom Brady to the 49ers. And that was, it feels like it's been at least a year, maybe a couple of years, where you've toyed with it or thrown it out there or rumor innuendo. Can you still see Tom Brady playing again? And if so, is it for the 49ers?
Oh, absolutely. And I got to give Sims credit. He's the one that first brought that to fruition a couple of years ago, that Brady wanted to play for the 49ers when he was a free agent after leaving the Patriots or while he was in the process of doing so. And the 49ers said, no, thank you. It's like, okay, good luck. Good luck with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think the 49ers would admit that they'd probably have a Super Bowl trophy or two if they had gone with Tom Brady instead of Jimmy G. But I think that Tom Brady, especially after this Sean Payton, Miami Dolphins, Tom Brady thing, I don't think he's retired, Dan. I think he's retired from the Buccaneers. That's what I think the retirement was. I think he's trying to find a graceful exit from Tampa Bay. He got his Super Bowl win. Last year, they took a step back. And now I think he is eyeing a place where he walks through the door with the deck stacked in his favor. And what place other than San Francisco? Give Trey Lance another season to sit. You walk into a team that's Super Bowl ready, that is dangerous defensively, that has great weapons offensively. You got a quarterback who can make big throws in big spots. The 49ers become a shortlist Super Bowl favorite if Tom Brady ends up there. The question is, how much of a fight will the Buccaneers put up if he decides in June or July that he wants to leave? And I would say they owe it to him to give him what he wants. He brought a Super Bowl trophy to a team that had no business being in the Super Bowl, and he filled the stadium last year. I think they should work with him and give him what he wants, if that's what he wants to do. But I think he's coming back. I just think he's trying to find a way out of Tampa.
Are you willing to bet on that?
How much?
Like a pie to the face.
Oh, a pie to the face. I mean, pie to the face is nothing. It depends. I mean, unless it's like, you know, an acid pie.
No.
It's just a normal pie.
A pie of your choice. Anybody want to take Florio up on a pie to the face? Paulie will say that Brady does not come back.
Just the Niners we're talking, right?
Just the Niners.
I'll do it.
Okay. So pie to the face, Florio.
Wait, week one Niners. If he's on the Niners, who takes a pie to the face?
Paulie does.
Paulie
does.
And if he's not on the Niners, then I take the pie to the face.
Yes.
Okay.
You come on the show, and maybe your wife can administer, or Chris Sims could administer a pie to the face.
Yeah, it may have to be a virtual pie to the face, but I'll tell you, my wife would very much enjoy the assignment
of
slamming a pie to my face.
Yes, he'd.
I feel like week one is a very important part of this bet.
Why?
Because couldn't you see Tom Brady maybe like somewhere later in the season joining the 49ers?
No, I, you know, nothing Brady does is, you know, by accident. Like, everything is structured. Everything is planned out. I don't think he's going to go, you know, maybe I'll join them week six. I think if he's planning, then he's planning now, and he would be there. He would want to be there week one. Last thing you want to do is all of a sudden Trey Lance plays well, and then you get Brady, and you're like, why did we get Brady? Trey Lance is here. Pie to the face. I like that. Oh, I got to ask you, because everybody has breathlessly been talking about this, that Aaron Rodgers wasn't in the London promo for the Packers in the Abbey Road picture there. Where do you stand on this, Mike?
I think if you take the original 12-inch vinyl Abbey Road and put it on track three of side one and run it backwards, it says Aaron Rodgers is staying in Green Bay. They had no idea how prescient they were.
Oh, my God. We got to be finding out here soon. Doesn't it feel like today with McAfee, he announces what he's going to do?
I think he's staying. Look, when the news comes out that they're working on a contract, why are you working on a contract if you're not staying? And it's smart for him to work out the contract before he gives him an answer, because he's got leverage.
Yeah.
If he says, I'm coming back, now let's work out a contract, there's no leverage left to be had.
This report that he's wants $50 million a year, to me, is not surprising. Like, you've talked about, if I'm the Packers, I just say, I'm going to call your bluff. Here's 2 years, $100 million guaranteed. Exactly. That's it. Ball yep. game.
And there's no owner in Green Bay that's siphoning off millions to, you know, go buy a super yacht. Yep. They can invest every penny they make back in the team. And they've raised like $70 million through their non-stock stock sale. They can do this easily. I think he's going to stay. Dan, where else is he going to go and have a team around him like what he has in Green Bay? He's not going to walk in somewhere else and be a Super Bowl winner. His best chance is to stay in a division where the Bears have a new GM and coach. The Vikings have a new GM and coach. The Lions are in year two of their latest reboot. The schedule is favorable this year. They could be the number one seed again. The question is, can they finish the job and get to the Super Bowl?
Great to talk to you as always. And good luck with the book.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. And the book is called Playmakers. It's out March 15th. I got an autographed copy. I didn't know he autographed it until I had Paulie look at it. That was kind of awkward. It's like, Florio, you sent me a book. You didn't autograph. He goes, I did. Oops. I had to go back. And yeah, he did. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
All right, everybody. Game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know what I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
The truly brilliant all-electric EQE SUV from Mercedes-Benz features some of the smartest tech ever to grace four wheels. With Dynamic Select, you can fine-tune hundreds of vehicle settings to precisely match your driving style. And available in off-road mode, transparent hood lets you see through the sheet metal to steer clear of bumps and potholes directly beneath you. How about that? A 360 array of cameras and sensors constantly alerting you for danger, while 64-color ambient lighting lets you fully customize the ambiance inside the spacious cabin. The EQE SUV is so smart, even the headlights are thinking. Optional digital light technology projects navigation markings and warnings on the road ahead as you drive. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Test drive the EQE SUV. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQE-SUV.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Bill Orms had an interesting last couple of days. He covers the Lakers for The Athletic, and Bill, kind enough to join us. How would you describe the last couple of days there, Bill?
Oh, very low-key, Dan. Just very very low-key. It does turn out that when LeBron James says something about you or tweets about you, other people want to say things about you and tweet about you. So I've had a lot of that over the last few days, but otherwise pretty good. 80 degrees in Los Angeles yesterday.
Okay, but tell the audience what you reported and why LeBron James reacted to that, or how he did.
Well, so, I mean, obviously after his comments at All-Star Weekend about potentially returning to Cleveland and his various praise for other executives on the heels of the Lakers not making a move at the trade deadline, there was a lot of tea leaf reading and a lot of interpretation. And we're talking about LeBron James, who's one of the master tweakers in the history of you know, the organizations he works for, and subtweets and sort of, you know, trying to push buttons kind of behind the scenes. And so, you know, I reported, you know, several things kind of reported related to LeBron, including, you know, that the subtext is that within the Lakers organization and sort of along with the trend of the rest of the NBA, and LeBron helped usher this in, he has more power within the Lakers organization than any player ever has. And that includes Kobe Bryant. And so what I, you know, basically wrote was that LeBron was using that platform in that moment to sort of apply pressure to the Lakers to get what he wanted from the Lakers, whatever that might be, whatever his vision, whether it's a contract extension, whether it's just to kind of hold the Lakers' feet to the fire a little bit more and remind them that he could potentially leave if things don't go his way. And then in the aftermath of that, of course, LeBron, you know, basically wrote that no one should listen to me, I guess, but you know, we talked about it. We're good.
But how was that? So he pulls you aside and just wants to have a heart to heart, man to man conversation.
I would just say we talked about it in the hallway. I had his press conference and we had a conversation about it. And, you know, I had a couple thoughts on it and he had a couple thoughts on it, and then, you know, it seems like we landed in a pretty good place.
Yeah, because it doesn't take, you know, that much time to connect the dots here of what he's saying, how he's saying it, and then all of a sudden, hey, you guys didn't do anything at the trade deadline. As it, well, let me ask you that. It almost felt like the Lakers said, look, LeBron, this is what you wanted. You deal with it. You wanted Anthony Davis. We gave up all those young players. We gave up picks. You wanted Russell Westbrook. We wanted Buddy Hield. You got it. Go, you know, make the best of it. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely, you know, a reasonable assessment. And also, any change they were going to make, even if it was the John Wall trade, right, which made a lot of sense. John Wall is also a client of Clutch Sports, which, you know, is Clutch is LeBron. LeBron is Clutch. Rich Paul runs Clutch Sports. That's a move that would have disadvantaged the Lakers, right? They would have had to give up that first round pick in 2027, or even a pick swap in 2027, which, you know, is, you know, we don't know where the Lakers are going to be 5 years from now. That could end up being a really catastrophic pick swap. And so while you are in win now mode, I think there was also a real healthy dose of reality from the Lakers to say, you know, we can be in win now mode all we want. We can't win now. So there is a little bit of get to the offseason, get to, you know, make the best of this season. Maybe something breaks your way and you know, maybe you could win a playoff series if something really breaks your way. But get to the postseason and then kind of lick your wounds and reassemble them.
Do you think LeBron ends his career as a Laker?
I would say yes. I think that there was the, you know, some saber rattling over the All-Star weekend. I don't think LeBron wants to go anywhere. I don't think it makes sense for him to go anywhere. I don't know that if he were to leave at age 38, 39, he's going to find another organization that is willing to give him the same sort of equity, you know, not obviously actual ownership, but ownership of, you know, action that the Lakers have, unless it is a scenario where he is, you know, going somewhere where he is literally going to become a part of the ownership group upon retiring or something like that. But I do think there is a real strong chance. I'd probably put it like 60-40, right? I tip to him finishing his career with the Lakers. You know, the Bronny element is fascinating, but I still think it makes the most sense for, you know, this to sort of funnel Bronny to the Lakers at some point for a year or two. And it, because again, I don't know how many teams, like, I think you'd have to be a team without a real direction or plan to say, well, our best path forward is to draft a you know, draft Bronny James, you know, assuming he's a draftable player, but not knowing really where he's going to be at that stage, you know, how much of a foundational type player he could be, and then to get a 40-year-old LeBron. Like, if that's your best path forward, then you really probably are at total rock bottom as an NBA franchise.
That sounds like something the Knicks would do, Bill.
Like I said, you'd have to be at total rock bottom as an NBA franchise.
Yeah, I don't even know if Bronny can play at that level. I've watched high school games. Hell, I look good in high school, Bill. So I don't know. If I'm a team, do you call LeBron's bluff and you draft Bronny a lot higher than he would probably normally have gone?
I mean, I think that's the thing that people... I mean, we're still talking about LeBron 2 years from now. Yeah. And while LeBron is still putting up massive numbers, you know, he's averaging, you know, he's averaging MVP caliber numbers. He's had way more injuries than he's had in his career. He's started to look his age a little bit more. Even if you watched the other night in the loss to New Orleans, he didn't seem to have the same burst. And he mentioned, you know, kind of acknowledged that he, you know, didn't look great, even though he had 32 points. I think that knee's bothering him. So this year he's had the knee, he's had an ab strain, he's had an ankle injury. Last year he had the bad ankle injury. So these things are starting to add up. So who's even going to know, who even knows where LeBron's going to be in 2 years and whether a team is going to see that 2-for-1 deal as the steal that we might think of it now.
How are the Clippers, by the way?
They're fun, right? I mean, we saw them last week against the Lakers, and again against, we'll see them again this week. That's a really fascinating team because they kind of, like, before they got Kawhi and Paul George, they have such a strong identity that sort of transcends their stars. And then you can bring those stars in, you know, so if Kawhi, PG, Norman Powell, if there's a scenario those guys got back for a play-in for the postseason, it would be a really, like, you know, unbelievable development, and it would really add some spice to the postseason.
How would you rate Steph Curry's All-Star performance?
I mean, just all time. I mean, he's just all time. I mean, I don't know what against what benchmark to, you know, judge things happening in an All-Star game. Like, you know, he could make 30 threes in an All-Star game, and I don't know that I would be like that bowled over. But to see him just go out and have that kind of performance, you know, knock down all those threes, the joy that he brings to the game, watching everybody else kind of embrace him. You know, he is, you know, we get very caught up in LeBron and, you know, Kevin Durant, but Steph Curry has, you know, really dominated this decade. And to have kind of that sort of signature performance on an exhibition stage, I think is just like one of those other feathers in the cap of a Hall of Fame career.
And I've said this before, I don't know if you agree, but I'll bring it up, that, you know, Michael had such an impact. In fact, the NBA is still trying to kind of get out from his shadow there. But what Steph Curry has done, he's done more for more basketball players than I think Michael's style. Michael entertained us, but we couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. We feel like we can do what Steph Curry does, and I think he'll have a greater impact on the game, actual playing, than Michael will. What do you think?
It's funny. We had a conversation in an interview setting with Malik Monk a few weeks ago, and we were asking Malik Monk, who has had a great year for the Lakers, whether he was disappointed he wasn't in the slam dunk contest. And he said, no, like, I'm more disappointed I wasn't in the 3-point contest. And it's like, why? The slam dunk contest is so much cooler. And he was like, and our point was, because anybody can shoot a 3-pointer. And he's like, not like me. And I think that is the kind of the same idea, where Steph Curry took this thing that felt very relatable and that anybody could, like, go out on the court and do, and you could sort of feel like Steph if you knock one down, and he's made it feel cooler than dunking. He's made it feel as unreachable as, you know, jumping, you know, higher than you could jump, because he does it at such an unbelievable level. And the video that was going around from pregame the other day, where he made 13 straight shots, he did his whole shooting routine from every distance, you know, moving all the way back up to half court and then all the way back into the paint, was, you know, just I do think we take for granted like that he has actually perfected the most fundamental skill of basketball.
And maybe Ja Morant will bring back the dunk because, you know, for a smaller guy, he attacks the hoop like Derrick Rose did when he first came into the NBA. And everybody wants to shoot threes. Ja's bringing it every night. He's bringing it to anybody, everybody.
Well, and like people will always love a small guy who can dunk. And like, I mean, to see Ja at his size, you know, fly through the air. And like you said, at anybody over great shot blockers, the best shot blockers in the league. He is, you know, completely, I mean, dunking, I think at a certain point got kind of passe, right? Yeah. Like you watch the dunk contest, they're kind of out of moves to do there. You can only go between your legs so many times behind your back, off the balance, off the backboard, off the side of the backboard. We've seen it all, but we haven't really seen a guy. I mean, even D Rose didn't, like didn't like put it down on guys like we've seen Ja do over these couple of years he's been in the league. I mean, he is to me one of the three or four guys in the NBA I would pay my own money to like go sit in like the nosebleeds just to watch play basketball.
Who are the others?
Ooh. Can I have five?
Yeah, sure.
LeBron, Steph.
Oh, are you saying LeBron just because you got to be nice to him now?
No, LeBron James is still worth the price of admission. Come on. Very much worth the price of admission.
Okay, all right. You're kissing LeBron, up to
Steph,
LeBron.
KD, and Giannis, Jokic. Both are in there.
Okay, all right.
That's six.
Yeah, I people are talking about DeMar DeRozan. I said, when's the last time an MVP candidate didn't have a highlight that you remembered? And DeMar DeRozan doesn't have any highlight. He doesn't make the highlights. It's just you look at the box score and you go, man, he scored 30 again. Jokic, it feels like his passing stands out more than anything else. Ja Morant is going to have signature plays here. The Greek Freak has signature plays. I don't know how much that factors in, you know, with MVP voters of the style, the you know, being a performer that goes along with how valuable you are to your team.
I think it helps just in the sense of having, you know, something in your mind's eye, right? Like the kind of that signature moment or that defining sort of characteristic or trait. I mean, DeMar DeRozan's game has never been flashy or that highlight worthy. It's always been sort of, you know, it's been accumulation. Like, oh man, he knocked down nine mid-range jumpers, or he finally shot some threes. You know, whatever he does has never been flashy. And what it's been to me has been the accumulation and the consistency with that Bulls team, the Bulls obviously being atop the West, or excuse me, the East, and having, you know, really come out of nowhere. I mean, I don't think anybody saw them as a contender or having, you know, a good off season, but it felt like, you know, you overpay for DeMar, you know, who knows about Lonzo and Caruso, and those, everything they did has hit. And so DeMar's in the conversation, not only because he's individually playing like an MVP, but because he's elevated his team. But you're right in the sense that I don't think highlights win MVPs, but I do think having sort of memorable moments and memorable games to sort of stick in voters' minds does matter. But I almost feel like DeMar's numbers and the fact that he kind of has come out of nowhere this season. I mean, always a very good player, every year a borderline all-star. But to then now be putting up the numbers that he's putting up, to me, that is almost the highlight. The highlight is the fact you can't disregard him. You don't forget him because it's been so unexpected for him this year.
Yeah, it's almost like an overnight sensation that took 10 years in the making with DeMar DeRozan. Play nice this week, Bill, okay?
I'll try.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dan.
Bill Orme, the Lakers writer for The Athletic. You imagine you write this and then all of a sudden you had some people who were upset with Bill Orme, and then LeBron says, hey, come here. LeBron wants to talk to you. And, you know, while he said, hey, I wasn't the source of this story, and, you know, that somebody was and sources run the game and all of those things. But, you know, this is what you do when you get stared down by somebody. And it's happened to me before. When you report something, Lawrence Taylor, I thought, was going to punch me. When I was covering him, when he had to have a press conference talking about being suspended, cocaine use, Alex Rodriguez, I thought he was going to punch me in the Rangers locker room. But, you know, I was always told, show up, always show up. If you say something, you report something, show up in front of that person. Then if they want to say something to you, they can. And it's difficult because here you are, you're being critical of LeBron James. And, you know, he's got a big social media platform there. But if you're doing your job, you're doing your job. And you can't play nice with everybody. Yeah, Paulie.
Can you imagine you're Bill Oram, the reporter, and you're in the hallway and you're talking to LeBron. You're like, oh, this is the conversation. It's happening right now. And all the other reporters are watching you because they're reporting on what's going on with those two. That's got to be a weird situation.
There were no baseball reporters in the Rangers locker room that day when I went in. And I didn't go in to confront Alex Rodriguez. I went in to talk to Alex Rodriguez. I think A-Rod was going to confront me, but I just went in to kind of clear the air, and it wasn't going to happen. He was mad at me with, you know, the interview that I did with him where he talked about Derek Jeter. And the thing I never understood about that is I told A-Rod that, you know, we were taping the interview. He didn't say something was off the record. And he was really upset with me because this blew up because he was critical of Derek Jeter. And then he does an interview with Esquire magazine, I think, or GQ, and says the same exact things to the writer, Scott Rabb. And I went, how can you be mad at me when you said the same thing on record to Scott Rabb? And he reported, you know, he wrote this article in GQ or Esquire. I went, that doesn't make any sense. But A-Rod and I have had a frosty relationship ever since then, but I still felt I needed to hear his side of the story of why he was so upset with me. Yeah, Paul.
5-minute poll question. Who appears on this show before it's over? Commissioner Goodell, Alex Rodriguez. And I'm not sure which way I'd bet.
I'm going to say neither.
You have to pick them.
Oh, I
got
to pick one.
You got to. Like, if there was odds.
Let me take a break here. We'll take a break. And I'll have to give that some deep thought here, consideration. Because the commissioner has been on the show, but when somebody is guest hosting, that... And I think Alex Rodriguez has been on the show when somebody else is guest hosting.
You're correct about both.
Yes, Todd.
But I thought he was on the show with you not too many years ago where something about you're not welcome in the house, but you're on the porch where it looked like you were making some progress.
I said, how long would it take for me to get inside your house to know you played baseball? He goes, oh, you're not going to get in my house.
That was at least 15 years ago, by the way.
Yeah, I don't think I'm even getting into his neighborhood now. Yeah, Seed.
Don't you get the sense, though, that either one of those dudes could call into the show tomorrow and be like, no, what do you mean?
Oh, I'm sure. No, the commissioner, I'm sure the commissioner probably is, you know, oblivious to this.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.